You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Guys, welcome back to Inside the War Room, presented by Sports Illustrated on the NFL Draft Bible Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always, Dante, Saray. How you boys doing today?
Doing good. Excited to keep recapping the 2021 NFL Draft. We just couldn't let it go. We just had to keep going.
Of course. So yeah, today we will be doing the NFC and AFC North. And one more thing I do want to ask before we get going is if you guys could leave a five-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever the hell you're listening to, it's always much appreciated. But with that being said, let's get into the AFC North. I'm going to kick it off to Dante. Dante, what team will you be covering today?
Yeah, so I got the Cincinnati Bengals, who had a very, very interesting weekend at the draft. They obviously started out with Ja'Marr Chase at pick 5. And I think that pick got a lot of like pushback from people. I get it. I think that obviously they probably should have drafted Penei Sewell. One of our teams was very much the benefit of the Bengals passing on him, and we'll get to them and that person later, who's flexing on camera right now. But we are having, the Bengals, they wanted to pair Joe Burrow with Ja'Marr Chase. These are two guys who combined for one of the best college football seasons of all time not too long ago. So I get it. And if you are Cincinnati, I mean, this is a pretty good group of weapons that you now have. You have Tyler Boyd. You have T. Higgins. You have Auden Tate, who was like a kind of decent wide receiver 3 last year. You have Joe Mixon. You spent a second round pick on Drew Sample. I don't know if he's good or not, but he's there. So you have a good young group of pass catchers. So I get that pick. I didn't love it. Then they went with Jackson Cartman, Joseph Asai, Cameron Sample, Tyler Shelvin, Deontay Smith, a kicker, and then some day 3 guys. So my favorite pick is actually Deontay Smith, the 4th rounder from East Carolina. I think he's a guy who could develop into their right tackle of the future. Probably not someone that you want to start this year, but length, athleticism. I really like what he brings to the table. I think he can help plug a future hole for them. And then I would say my least favorite pick, probably Jackson Carman. And it's not because Jackson Carman is a bad football player or that he's not going to be good per se. I just felt like that was a reach. I thought there was much better tackle talent on the board. I mean, I'm pretty sure I had Deontay Smith rated higher than Jackson Carman. So they got a better player, at least in my opinion, in the 4th round versus the 2nd. Carman is apparently going to play guard for them. So they drafted a guard in the top 40. And, you know, again, if he comes in and, you know, I think Saray and I talked about this 2 weeks ago. If he comes in and he's the starting guard and he's solid, I mean, crap, that's better than what the Bengals have had the past couple of years. So it's really not a terrible pick. It's just I felt it was a reach. I thought there was better talent on the board. And I would have liked to see them really get and invest in somebody like a Tevin Jenkins or something like that, just because like pairing him with Jonah Williams, those are your bookends for years to come. I really like Deontay Smith. He's my favorite pick in this class, and I think he can do a good job developing to be the right tackle, but he's not going to be the right tackle right now, and I would have liked to see them get more immediate help for Joe Burrow at tackle versus getting Carman, who may or may not be a good guard. We'll have to see. So if I had to give it an overall grade, I think it's a B-. I do like what they did with Joseph Asai and Cameron Sample. I think those are two guys who are going to give them really, really good edge depth. They're long, they're, you know, fast, explosive. So I like those picks. I like a lot of what they did. Just those first two picks for me were just a little bit suboptimal. You know, I get the Chase, you know, pick and wanting to pair him with those guys and Joe Burrow, but I think you passed on a really, really, really good tackle in Penei Sewell, and then you went with Carman, who's going to play guard for you. It just seems very, very odd at the top, but I thought the Bengals did a really nice job after that, getting good value and good players.
All right. Saray, what team will you be covering today? You got two teams in the AFC North, actually, but what team will you be covering first?
I'm going to go with Cleveland because they have the better draft, in my opinion. Okay. But we'll start with Greg Newsome out of Northwestern, the cornerback, 26 overall. Not as a great value, man, but I think it's extremely important. Denzel Ward's there, and I was doing some research. I heard that he hasn't played a full 16-game season since he's been in NFL, so not to say that he's injury prone, but it's worth noting that you do need that depth. We know about Greedy Williams and his injury history, and Really hasn't been the player that we expected him to be in the NFL. He hasn't been horrible, but he hasn't been LSU greedy Williams. So I think Greg Newsome can easily come in and take that corner number two spot. Secondly, I think the second pick that I really, really liked was going to be Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. We talked about this a little bit, I think, on the last show with me and Dante before, I think when Tyler was gone, but had a heart issue. And, you know, that's kind of why he failed, kind of scare teams. But, like, he's going to be playing their little linebacker spot. And I think this is kind of the mold that the Browns like. You know, they have Grandel, but kind of a hybrid. They have Ronnie Harrison, kind of a hybrid. So they do have both. They like these type of players, you know, on their roster. And Anthony Schwartz, man, I kind of think this was a reach here. I thought the receiver room in Cleveland is very, very good. I didn't really think that a receiver in round two would have been important or really a need, right? But, I mean, he's really fast. I mean, maybe they're prepping for, and you know, a future Odell Beckham departure. I don't know how that situation is going to handle him coming back from injury. And really just hasn't been the same player since he's been in Cleveland. But James Hudson out of Cincinnati, I think he's a raw prospect, but I think there's a lot of room for improvement. I think the ceiling is very high for this player. With the right NFL coaching, I think he could be something really important and really talented player. And Tommy Tolkien, I think just looking at the Cleveland Browns, just defensive their defensive line, that man, Andrew Billings, Miles Garrett, dude, Malik Jackson, Tommy Tolkien, Jordan Elliott, Malik McDowell, Sheldon Day, Damon Scorey, and then you go and pick up Marvin Wilson, who was undrafted. So I think that's something right there. The depth on this defensive line is amazing. What pick that I really, really didn't like is a pick that they didn't make, and that was not addressing edge in the draft. I think opposite of Miles Garrett is extremely important, man. No Olivier Vernon, you lose him to the torn Achilles, and you don't address this position in the draft. And I'm not – listen, the whole Tack McKinley signing and the whole Jadeveon Clowney signing, that doesn't move the needle for me. We can talk all day about the player we thought Tack McKinley was going to be. Hasn't been good, okay? So there's that. And Clowney's been stealing money for the past, like, 4 years, if we're being honest, right? He's not been healthy. He hasn't produced well. So we want to sit here and talk about the Clowney saying, yeah, it's a big name. We know that he gets pressures on a quarterback. He's a good run defender. He's not going to be your, you know, 10, 12 sack a year kind of guy. But, like, you're never healthy. So, like, it sounds good when you hear Clowney and Miles Garrett together. But when you get the product on the field, he's not been the same player. So my worst pick is the position they didn't address, which was edge. My favorite pick would have to be Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, man. He's a top 15 player for me. You get him in the second round. Like, I understand it's a hard issue, but if I'm a team, I still would have taken a chance on him, right? That's where I'm at with Cleveland. I think they really had a great draft, man. They addressed some important needs. Greg Newsome was huge. And I don't know, man. This is a – I don't want to say a make or break year for Baker, but, like, they're I think they're a Super Bowl contender this year, dude. I think they're the best team in the division. I think they have the better coach in the division. I think they have a better roster in the division. I think this is year they overtake Baltimore. I think they win the division this year. Like, I really do think this is Cleveland's year. I think this is it.
Wow. That's a very interesting take. And I am also a fan of the Browns as well. But I'm here to cover the Baltimore Ravens, who I thought they had a pretty solid draft as well. And, I mean, I think they have a legit argument to, you know, still be the best team in the division as well. And, you know, they could defend their AFC North title. But I'm just going on with their first round pick. I like both their first round picks a lot. Obviously, they acquired the Chiefs' first round pick from the Orlando Brown trade. So they picked at 27, which was their original pick, and then they had picked 31 from the Orlando Brown trade. So losing Orlando Brown, and then they go out and get a wide receiver, and they go out and get an edge rusher with Jason Away, and they go get Rashad Bateman. So the Rashad Bateman pick I thought was phenomenal. Now Baltimore seems like they got their true wide receiver one. It's always been the big question in Baltimore. It's like, we need a wide receiver one for Lamar Jackson. We don't have a true wide receiver one. He can only throw to tight ends, Mark Andrews. Like, that was always the consensus. Like, Hollywood Brown and Willie Snead were just not cutting it for the Baltimore Ravens. So they go out with their first round pick, and they go out and get Rashad Bateman. And Rashad Bateman is a phenomenal prospect. I think this was a guy that was getting hyped to be, you know, even wide receiver one, wide receiver two before the pre-draft process, like back in the summertime, you know, before Devontae Smith and, you know, Jalen Waddle and Ja'Marr Chase, before all that hype, Bateman was in that conversation to be, you know, one of the top two receivers in this whole entire class. And, you know, maybe he didn't end up being one of those top two picks or as a receiver, but I mean, I think he's still a phenomenal prospect, I think. And, you know, most other drafts without a Ja'Marr Chase and a Devontae Smith, I mean, Bateman's going to be one of the first or second receivers taken off the board, I believe. I mean, I think Bateman's a phenomenal prospect. So I think Baltimore now assures, you know, them getting wide receiver one. And then now with their second first-round pick, you got Jason Away. I mean, this one made sense. Obviously, lost Matt Judon in the offseason. And it seems like Baltimore's just always, you know, been natural of getting these edge rushers, just making them really good players. So, you know, obviously, Away was one of those players that just didn't really produce much at Penn State. I believe he had a zero sack season in 2020. But, you know, the athletic ability is obviously there for a way, tested out of his mind at his pro day. And we've talked about this before. Those Penn State athletes, I mean, they're insane. I mean, they always test out of the water at their pro day. So, I mean, Jason Away was no different in his pro day this year. So, you know, if there was a fit for Jason Away, I think this is a team I would really like him to go to, because they have just a really good feel of how to use these like stand-up edge rushers, these really athletic guys. So I'm excited to see what they could do with a guy like Jason Away. You know, now you're moving away from Matt Judon, so he's going to have more of a prominent role in this defense. So I'm excited about that. Their next pick, I really liked it as well, Ben Cleveland. This was a guy I was really high on as well. I think he could be a day one starting guard for you as well. Ben Cleveland obviously played at Georgia. He was really good over there. You know, he's one of those big physical guards that's going to help you in pass protection. He's going to help you run the ball. Obviously, Baltimore, Harbaugh loves to run the ball. That's just their identity. You know, with now they got J.K. Dobbins. They got that backfield. Lamar Jackson obviously always running around the field. Ben Cleveland's a good fit for what they want to do. So also a really, really good fit for what they want to do and their offense. But overall, I mean, I think there's no more excuses for Baltimore. I mean, I don't think there's any more excuses for Lamar Jackson. I mean, he's got the running game that he's always wanted. He's got J.K. Dobbins, who was pretty good for him last year, and I think he's just going to have a better year this year. The offensive line is there. Obviously lost Orlando Brown, but you got a replacement with Villanueva from the Pittsburgh, so you got him as your right tackle now. You still got Ronnie Staley at left tackle. You got Ben Cleveland now at guard. You signed Kevin Zietler. Your offensive line is set right now. You got a true wide receiver one now. So I just don't see any more excuses for Lamar Jackson. If he doesn't produce this year, obviously he's going to get his extension and he's not going anywhere anytime soon. But I just think there could be concern if, you know, Lamar Jackson's still not a good passer by the 2021 season. I think he needs to show major improvements this year.
What do you guys say? Here he goes again. We had this debate, this constant Lamar Jackson slander.
Is there an excuse this year?
There's not an excuse, but it's worth noting that
his third year. Relax.
Greg Roman does need to improve his scheme. That has a lot to do with now they have the personnel to do it, right? So if they do improve the scheme, if they make some changes, you know, maybe get a real passing game coordinator. If all that goes to all that, man, if all that is put in place and they actually do make some changes and actually let him air it out more, let him become a, you know.
I don't know if we want to see that, though. I feel like they're catering the offense to Lamar Jackson already with this Greg Roman.
I'm not going to get into this argument with Tyler because this is going to be an entire show thing. All I'm saying is improve the coaching, improve the game plan, and just you have real receivers out there now, man. So let them sling the ball around the yard a little bit, man.
They also got a steal in day three, in my opinion. They got Tylan Wallace in the fourth round as well. That's another weapon.
Should have been a Charger, but instead we won a Josh Palmer, but continue.
Yeah. So Tylan Wallace fell all the way to like the late fourth round, too. Pick 131. So, I mean, he fell. He fell pretty far. And, I mean, I think we made this comparison. I don't know if I've told you guys this one, but he's like the great values Jamar Chase. Like, you know, he kind of plays like Jamar Chase.
Yeah, like, that's what I said. Yeah.
he plays like a lot bigger than he actually, like, you know, actually he's only 6'1", but, you know, he's one of those shifty guys that you could put him in the slot, you could put him in the outside. I love Tylan Wallace at the Senior Bowl. It was so fun to watch him play because obviously in Oklahoma State, they play in that air raid offense. So it's really weird to see, you know, receivers and like how they like develop or how they would transit to the NFL. It's just not a really good sample size. But once he went to the Senior Bowl and he was more of an NFL pro style offense, I thought he was phenomenal. So getting him at pick 131, great value. And, you know, the Ravens got my boy Ben Mason, Michigan man, with their last pick in the fifth round. So, you know, I never have enough fullbacks, I guess. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with him because they have Patrick Ricard. So it's going to be interesting what they do with Ben Mason. But overall, I really like what the Ravens did in this draft. No more excuses for Lamar Jackson. Your offense is set. You got two legit receivers who are going to play for you right away. You got an edge rusher on your defense side. The ball is going to take over for Judon. And you got a day one starting guard in Ben Cleveland. So overall, I feel like the Ravens always have a good draft. And I thought they had another good draft this year. So I'm going to give this draft an A- for the Baltimore Ravens.
They did kill it, man. They really did kill it. But moving on to the worst draft of the division is the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm just going to get on my spiel about why running backs don't matter for a second. Listen, pick 24. This is like something we've seen in mock drafts. We've seen it everywhere. So when Najee Harris became a Steeler, like nobody was surprised it was the pick. Doesn't mean it was the right pick. And the Steelers, listen, there are more pressing needs on your roster right now than a running back. And it's not a knock on Najee Harris because I gave him a first-round grade. He was RB1 for me. It's just the fact that you're not a running back away from being a title contender. Your offensive line is poor. They need depth in the worst way, which they did take some, you know, some pieces here in the draft that I'll get on. But, like, are you really a running back away from winning the division? No, because running back was not your biggest issue last year. It was your quarterback play for one. Literally offensive line and injuries, and man, you lose edge rush depth, right? And free agency. So like there were just more pressing needs for me. I'm not saying this should have been a quarterback. I'm not going that far, but like I just really think that there were more pressing needs. But like Najee Harris is a fine football player. He's probably going to be very successful in his time in Pittsburgh there, whether after Big Ben leaves. It's a running back, man. Right? You could have got one in round two. Tevin Jenkins was on the board. Like there are so many other ways that Pittsburgh could have did this thing, but you know, they took Najee Harris. It is what it is. Like, he's not a bad player. It's just really, you know, I'm just surprised that they were also pressed and we had to take a running back. And then you soak the rag and then you go around to Pat Freiermuth. Again, a fine football player, but like tight end is not our biggest need, boys. What are we doing here? I think that like you can give Mike Tomlin any personnel out there, right? He's going to coach his guys up, right? The Steelers are always well coached. They always have a fine culture. It's a great organization, right? They produce talent. And the skill positions at a supreme high level, and I completely understand that. But like, it's tight end the big need here. Like, can we have gotten a corner here in round two because Joe Hayden's old, right? And I just don't understand. There's no corner one on the roster, in my opinion, dude. I mean, it's rough. And you, Kendrick Green, guard from Illinois, right? Like I said, depth in the worst way, so they address that position on the offensive line. Go back here and get Dan Moore from Texas A&M offensive tackle. And again, it's at this point, you lose Villanueva to Baltimore. It was a division foe. So I understand what they're doing here, but this is stuff that could be done in the later rounds, man. I mean, excuse me, in the earlier rounds. So I'm really not a huge fan of what went on here. And Quincy Roche, we can talk about that, right? Great player for Miami. Right? He was fun. Dante loved him when he was at Temple. But is he going to be out there and be your day one starter opposite of TJ Watt? And I highly doubt it. So like I don't like anything the Steelers did, right? They didn't address corner until round seven when Trey Norwood, who was super fun to watch at the Senior Bowl, right? Like his one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl were amazing. His feet, his hips, his technique, he was on point at the Senior Bowl. But none of this moves a needle for me. I mean, again, Najee Harris, your two premium picks early with Najee Harris and Pratt Freiermuth, they were really good football players, but just weren't at positions that I thought could have helped your team win now because you think you're in a window right now. I thought Tevin Jenkins would have been a better pick. And corner early on in the second round would have been a better pick. I mean, even running back in the second round. There's just so many ways they could have did this. But I give this grade a C just because they did get some fine players, but I thought they could address some earlier needs for their roster.
Saray, I want to throw a question out for you. I'm going to just put you on the spot right now. Are the Steelers a playoff team in 2021?
No.
My bold take, real quick, I think they finish under 500.
This is what I say. I think they wet the bed. I think Big Ben is hilariously bad. I think he's going to decline worse than what we've seen last year, and they're going to blow it up. I think they're going to blow it up. Like I think after this season, they're just going to rebuild this entire thing. And maybe I don't know. I just don't know, man. You're not a running back away. That's a bad pick, dude. And it's nothing for Najee Harris, but there's way more pressing needs. This should have been a better pick, in my opinion. But okay. I think they missed the playoffs. I think Cleveland got better. Baltimore for sure got damn better. You could tell me Baltimore wins 12 games and Cleveland wins 10 or 11. I wouldn't be surprised, but I think this is a 7-9 ball club at best.
Okay. So you say, Pittsburgh blows it up after this season.
I think they blow it up. They should at least because your quarterback of the future ain't on the roster. Injuries, the old roster, it's time to move on and blow this thing up, man.
Is Mike Tomlin part of this conversation as well?
No, I think they keep him. Yeah, no, I think they keep him. No. Yeah.
If you look at the Steelers' track history, they've only had like, six coaches? Is it something like that?
No, I mean, they're a good organization. They keep their coaches for a long time because, I mean, they're obviously a winning culture. Like, in our lifetime, how many times have you ever seen the Steelers bad? Never?
Not really that bad, yeah.
They're
always competitive. Like
they're always at least in the playoffs, right? Or at least, like, in the fringe of making the playoffs. But, okay. So, like,
sorry to cut you off. Like, does Tomlin want to have a rebuild? You know what I mean?
That's why I was kind of
like, it's not so much if the organization wants Mike Tomlin. It's more of, does he want to stick around for a 2 or 3, 4 year, however long this thing's going to take? I don't know what their cap situation looks like off the top of my head, but like, I don't know if Tomlin wants to sit around for that. I don't know. That's a good question.
And like something to mention as well is like their GM always takes 1 year's deals. And like there's always been rumors for like the last, I feel like 2 to 3 years that like Kevin Colbert is going to retire. He's going to retire. And he like constantly keeps taking 1 year deals. So it's like, do the Steelers just blow it up? Like everything gone? I mean, it's going to be interesting on this year. I mean, if they go and have a season like you think that they will, you know, they're going to blow the water. I mean, they're going to what, you know, like it's possible. I don't know.
I just don't see how they got better this year, man. I just don't see it draft wise, at least. And then you didn't address needs in free agency, you know, losing. What's his name to Tennessee? It's blanking me right now. What is his name? Edge rusher. What is his name?
He went Bud to Dupree. Titans.
Bud Dupree. There we go. Like you just, man, this is an organization that's built on defense, dude. And I'm sorry, I don't see how they got better. I think they're just going to plateau. And I don't think Big Ben's a good quarterback anymore. Like, it's the worst quarterback in the division, if we're being honest. I don't know, man. It's a good culture. It's a good coach team. I just don't see them taking that next step. That fast start they had last year, that's not happening again. There's no way.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's kick it off to the NFC now. That was fun. All right, Dante, what team will you be representing in the NFC?
Yeah, so I got the Minnesota Vikings.
Wait, so Dante, that's your dad's team, isn't it?
That is my dad's team, so shout out to my dad. I really like what the Vikings did overall. They made one head-scratching pick that I'll get to at the end. But overall, I think you trade down and you get Christian Darrisaw at 23. I think that's tremendous value. He's a very, very good player. They're going to need him to play left tackle this year. You pair him with Brian O'Neill. I mean, they could not be more different players, but whatever. They're two good tackles, two good bookends. If Kirk Cousins is going to be successful, you're going to have to protect him. And then they added on to that by getting Wyatt Davis on day two. And I thought that was a great pick as well. He was a player I had a second round grade on. So that was really good value. I think he comes in and he's a day one starter for them. He's a perfect scheme fit. I remember back in the summer, we were mocking Wyatt Davis to the Vikings at like 14 or whatever, and they come out getting him with pick 86 in the third round. So I mean, great value. Love what they did there. As we all know on this podcast, I'm a gigantic Chaz Surratt fan, who they drafted in the third round with pick 78. I think he's going to come in for them and just be a really, really good versatile chess piece coverage option. You know, I've heard some grumblings from some Minnesota people that he might be a safety convert to be a strong safety, which is interesting. We'll see how that goes. I think he's going to come in and provide them with better coverage options on the second level, whether that's a hybrid Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah type role or whether that's a more traditional linebacker type role. I think that's an upgrade for the Vikings, and I really like the value. So those would be my two favorite picks, and Wyatt Davis and Chaz Surratt. Obviously, really, really like the Christian Darrisaw pick as well. He was someone that I had outside the first round, but all the other tackles were off the board at that point, and Minnesota traded back, so quite frankly, I don't care. I think it's a good pick. Really, really nice job. I think they did a really nice job on day three as well. I really like the Cam Bynum pick, the cornerback out of Cal. I don't know if either of you guys watched him. He's a perfect scheme fit for that scheme. I think he can come in and be really, really solid. This is a team that just traded Mike Hughes to Kansas City. Jeff Gladney might be in jail, so they need corners. Cam Bynum is going to come in, and I think he might get some reps in year one. He's not a flashy player, but he's very, very solid technique. He's very, very smart. He's another guy that I heard might be a safety convert for them. I don't know where they're going to put all these dudes, but I have heard those things. But we'll see. I think Bynum can play on the outside in that scheme. I think he'd be really solid. They also added Amir Smith-Marset on day three. He's a guy who had a really, really good athletic profile, very fast, very shifty, you know, good hands. He's a good vertical threat. You know, you worry about, you know, he broke his ankle trying to flip into the end zone last year, and then he got into a car accident and got tagged with a DUI. So you have some red flags, but the player on the field is very, very nice. They got him on day three. I think he can come in. You know, the Vikings really do need a wide receiver three. They have Adam Thielen. They have Justin Jefferson. They ain't got Jack after that. So if Marsette can come in and at least be, you know, relatively solid, I think that could be very, very valuable for them. So I really like that pick as well. We need to have an intervention about Kellen Mond. Here's the thing that people don't understand about Kellen Mond. He's not good at football. So they drafted him with that really high pick, right? And like, look, here's the thing is like, I just don't get it. I really don't know. Obviously, I'm kidding with the he's not good at football thing. But like, I just like, I don't see it. I really don't. I have watched, you don't understand. Like, I watch players in the summer. I watch players in the fall. When you watch players in the summer, you don't know who's draft eligible. So you just you just look at the best players, right? And Mond's been a guy I have watched like 35 games of Kellen Mond. I don't understand him. He's such a weird player. He makes these incredible throws where he runs, you know, 15 yards out of the pocket, throws a bullet across his body 40 yards down the field. The next play, he takes a three-step drop and throws it directly to a linebacker with nobody else in the freaking stadium. I just don't understand what his mental processing, the way that you're going to have to rebuild him. And the worry that I have is that Minnesota is going to talk themselves into this guy beyond Kirk Cousins. I don't have a problem with them drafting a developmental QB like Kellen Mond, but they spent a relatively high pick on this player. This was not like a seventh round flyer or a sixth round flyer. You know, this was a guy who, I mean, they took him with a decently high pick, their second pick in this draft. They invested in Kellen Mond, and that, you know, makes me think that they're really going to want to invest in him past Kirk Cousins. I don't see it. I don't mind them taking a flyer. I get they want to get a young arm back there. And Mond has a great arm, and he's a very good athlete. But this is a player. He's the most wildly inconsistent player I've ever scouted. It just insane peaks and valleys. But, man, the valleys are really low. And I don't know. I'm a little bit concerned with what the Vikings are doing there. But we'll see. I really, really like their draft overall, though. So outside of that pick, this would be like a B plus for me. I really like what they did. I thought they got good depth on day three. Janaris Robinson, Cam Bynum, Amir Smith-Marset, I thought were all very good picks. Really like Darisol. Really like Wyatt Davis. Really like Chasseret. I'm concerned about Kellen Mond and how they view him as far as their plan for the future. And if he's a guy who doesn't come in and do a lot early, I mean, I feel like they wasted a pick there. So I think that's the only one that I have a problem with.
So, Dante, what are the Minnesota Vikings this year? Like, what is their ceiling?
Well, here's the thing. Are you asking what I think they are? Or are you asking what do they think they are?
Because every team, I think, thinks they're a fucking Super Bowl contender. What are they?
Yeah. I think they're an average team. I think this is a very, very average football team. This is a you know, 500 football team, maybe like a little bit higher than that. Maybe they win one or two games over 500. They sneak in as a wild card. I mean, but here's the problem is they're on a clock. Like, they need to compete like they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. So they're kind of in a weird spot. And that's why, like, I don't like drafting Kellen Mond there. Like, you need to compete now. Like, you do not have, like, this is not a team ready for a rebuild. This is not a, you know, draft Kellen Mond and stash him. You really could have gotten a good starter there, right? My hate for the pick almost has less to do with Kellen Mond and more to do with, like, I don't think the Vikings are ready to compete right now, per se, especially in that division. If Aaron Rodgers comes back, I think that division is going to be wildly improved across the board. I don't know, man. It's tough. I think it's a 500 team that is treating themselves like they're a Super Bowl contender, and that's always a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Vikings have been in the same boat for like the last like 3 years now. It's just like they can't get over the hump, and it just seems like it's getting worse and worse as the years go on because they can't maintain contracts. Guys are not happy. Like, I think Danielle Hunter wants out now or something like that, or he requested a trade. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how the Vikings end up going in 2021. And I agree with the Kellen Mond pick just being a little bit of a head scratcher. But I'm here to represent the Green Bay Packers. And the Green Bay Packers, I thought, had a very interesting draft. They obviously didn't take a quarterback this year. No Jordan Love. So, you know, they go on their first-round pick. They take a corner. And everyone's just thinking they got to go receiver. Aaron Rodgers obviously not happy. The whole news breaks down right before the draft. Adam Schefter just drops a nuke and says Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay about 4 hours before the draft. And, you know, everyone, I think, even before that news, is like, oh, Green Bay's going receiver. Green Bay's going receiver. But I think we got to go back to the NFC Championship game. Let's go back, flashback to Packers, Bucks, Lambeau Field. Let's flashback to end of the first half. If that end of the first half play just does not happen, we could be talking about a whole different conversation about the Green Bay Packers being in the Super Bowl right now. And if you don't know what play I'm talking about right now, talk about Kevin King giving a touchdown up to Scotty Miller to end the second quarter on, what was it, like the 30-yard line. It was a cover three. Everyone played deep. And just don't let anything go behind you. Just let him catch whatever he wants. Just don't let anything go behind you. Kevin King totally botches the play. And it gives up a touchdown, and it gives the Bucks momentum going into the half. And it just is an unnecessary touchdown that just never needs to happen. So the Packers taking a corner at pick, you know, in the first round, I don't see the problem here because Kevin King is just not a good football player. I mean, we're talking about Kellen Mond not being a good football player. Kevin King, I will say it, he's not a good football player. He needed to be replaced. Eric Stokes is a very good complement piece for Jahir Alexander on the other outside spot. So, you know, getting Kevin King out of a starting role immediately had to be done. So going corner in the first round was a much more important need for me, if I'm looking at the Packers, than a receiver. You still have Devontae Adams, and as at the moment, you still have Aaron Rodgers. And from what we've seen from Aaron Rodgers in his whole career, he's been able to make wide receivers who aren't necessarily the best talent, he's made them look a lot better. Alan Lazard is a legitimate receiver for Aaron Rodgers. He made Jay Kumerow look good for a couple of years before he just got suddenly released out of nowhere. And then, you know, MVS is kind of one of those players. He's just a very, you know, hit or miss guy. You know, he just don't know what to expect from MVS and what he's going to bring to the table. And also in the tight end, Robert Tonyan had a very phenomenal year with Rodgers this year. And, you know, that's just what Rodgers does. He makes guys that aren't the highest profile guys and, you know, he makes them better than what they are. So, you know, going back to, you know, the Eric Stokes pick, I think it was much more of a need for the Packers this year than a receiver in the first round. So them going corner, I thought was really good value. And obviously with Rodgers' frustration, you know, I don't think it's boiled down to them not taking a receiver in the first round, because obviously Schefter broke the news before that. And I think it was more of what happened in last year's draft of taking Jordan Love and just seeing, you know, the trend of other teams, kind of like the Buccaneers just going all in. I think Rodgers kind of wants that same treatment in Green Bay instead of just looking, you know, 3 years down the line. So
good question for you, Tyler. Quick question.
Yeah.
So could you just, you touched on the point, but like, I think it's stuff that has accumulated over time.
Yeah,
right? I think sure. The media is trying to make it to be just one thing. It started with Jordan Love. It started with, you know, releasing the wide receiver that Rodgers loved so much during training camp. Right. Like just small crap like that. Right. And I mean, like you said, he wants to be Tom Brady because like he's not saying that he wants to go in the draft room and make picks, because that's not what he's saying. But like he deserves to be included on some type of personnel roster decisions. Patrick Mahomes is included. Brady's included. Russell Wilson damn near hired their OC. Right. Like, yep. I mean, come on. Baker Mayfield, even in his rookie or second year, had some say so in who the hell the Browns hired as a head coach. And it wasn't the right move, because we see how that planned out. But he deserves the right to have some say so in what the hell goes on in Green Bay. I mean, they should have more than one Super Bowl. We can all agree on that. I mean, BS happens, man. There's a lot of stuff that happened out of his control. Like you said, the before half touchdown, your coward coach kicking a field goal, man, and an NFC championship game. There's so much stuff you can get into, but like, it's stuff that is accumulated over time. And I know that Rappaport reported they offered him like a huge extension, but like,
yep.
Does he sign it? Like what's the move? I think it's better for both sides to just figure this thing out. But I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't play on this team next year.
Oh yeah. I mean, from Green Bay's perspective and like the front office, I think you for sure want Aaron Rodgers in the building this year, because you have a roster to compete, especially in this NFC North right now. I think you definitely have a roster to win the division. And then I think you have a legitimate roster to win a Super Bowl or go to the Super Bowl game. I mean, we got to remember they were still in the NFC Championship game last year, and they almost pretty much brought the band back outside of losing Corey Linsley, which obviously was a big loss at the center position, but went to your Chargers. But, you know, overall, they brought the band back for the most part. And, you know, they go out with their second-round pick, and they address that Corey Linsley spot. They go out and get Josh Myers, who I thought is, you know, a good offensive lineman too from Ohio State. They're going to plug him, you know, they're going to plug him in at center. They still have, I think, a top 10 offensive line in the NFL. I mean, Elgton Jenkins, Bakhtiari is coming off that torn ACL, so we'll see how he recovers. But I still think he's really good. Lucas Patrick, Billy Turner. I mean, still a really good offensive line, a lot of versatility. And I think putting Myers in there will fit in pretty well for them. So I like that pick a lot. Amari Rodgers was probably my favorite pick out of all the Green Bay selection. I think he's just a shifty receiver that you could put in the slot, you could put him on the outside. He was one of those Senior Bowl guys as well that was really impressive. And I think he's going to fit in really well if Aaron Rodgers is there, obviously. So, I mean, I think he could be a legitimate number two, number three to complement with Adams and Lazard and with the guy in MVS and Tonyan. So, overall, you know, maybe not taking a receiver as early as Packers fans wanted. I thought it was still an overall pretty good draft for the Packers. And I think if you have Aaron Rodgers with this roster right now, I think this is still an 11-win plus, you know, win team for this Green Bay Packers squad if you could keep Aaron Rodgers around. So, overall, I thought you got good value with all your picks. I thought you got a good corner at you know, value-wise for who you're picking the first round. Josh Myers at 70 is really good value. And then Amari Rodgers in the late third round is really good value as well. So overall, I really like what the Packers did in this draft. So I'm going to give it a B. And, you know, like I said, I think it's Super Bowl contender if you got Rodgers on this team.
I just hope he's on the roster, man. I really don't.
No, I hope he's not on the roster. But I mean,
it's the thing. You've dealt with him for so long, and now there's rumors saying he wants to come to the AFC West. I don't want to deal with it. Please stay away from the Raiders. Stay away from the Broncos. Anywhere else but the AFC West. Pat Mahomes twice a year is enough for me. I can't do Rodgers.
Right. No, you deserve this because Dante had Tom Brady in his division his whole entire life. I had Aaron Rodgers.
I had Pat Mahomes. What do you mean I deserve this?
Okay, now you have this. Now you're going through what we've been going through our whole football life.
I dealt with Peyton Manning for a year or two. Like,
oh, to calm down. That is not not comparable at all.
You dealt with the ghost of Peyton Manning for
okay,
like
listen,
20
listen,
years.
Listen. There are two Super Bowls in my division before my team. Manning had the greatest offense that year.
Well,
they ended up losing. Second year, the defense wins it, and then, you know, we know about
Mahomes. It's not comparable at all. Tom Brady in his division for his
life,
and Aaron Rodgers is not comparable for Peyton Manning for 1 year.
Stop this. Anyway, if we're being completely honest, Philip Rivers is really the closest thing that division had to the dominance that Aaron Rodgers. He didn't win the Super Bowl, but they won that division most years when he was the quarterback. The Chiefs were bad, the Broncos weren't good, and the Raiders were bad. He ran that division for a long time. I'm just saying.
If Tom Brady didn't exist, we'd probably have a Super Bowl by now. If we're being honest, we lost to the Steelers that year. We were 13-3, had the number one seed in the AFC West.
Tom Brady played on the Steelers?
No. Okay, I'll give you the bullshit Troy Polamalu interception that scoops off the ground. Just nonsense that's happened, man. Philip Rivers has to play on a torn ACL.
Yeah, the most Philip Rivers thing of all time is what that was.
First ballot Hall of Famer. I don't care what you say.
Oh, hell no.
First ballot.
He's going to be. He's going to be.
He's going to be.
And I'm going to puke. And I'm going to puke.
Why do you hate him so much?
I don't like his little noodle arm. He doesn't have a noodle arm.
It's a little weird release.
It's a little pat. It's so disgusting. I cringe every time I watch
it. Find another quarterback who throws an out route better than Philip Rivers. They ain't one.
Oh, my God.
All right. Weird flex, but okay.
It's not
we
one.
Can go
okay.
with that. Man,
anyway,
all right.
Moving on to Chicago
Bears. Chicago Bears.
Man, Jesus, Lord. Speaking of quarterbacks, Justin Fields. The Bears get their quarterback of the future at number 11, Justin Fields. Listen, quick spiel about Fields, man. All the media, you know, he doesn't look happy on draft night. And, you know, he's not smiling. He's not crying. This kid has a chip on the shoulder. That's what it is. It's business for him right now. Like, he's been second to Trevor Lawrence since high school, dude, whether it was recruiting rankings, whether it was just, you know, who people thought was a better player, better prospect. And now here he is in a situation where that whole tweet that the Bears put out, QB1 Andy Dalton, just go ahead and crumble that thing up and just throw it in the garbage. Because week one, you put this kid on the field and you go. Because Nagy was in a situation where we talk about all the time, right? He was never, ever able to draft his own guy. And their general manager, too, man, they are running on a clock, man. Like, seriously, the moment you draft a quarterback, which they missed on with Trubisky, right, this is the final straw. So they could care less about those future picks if they had to give up. All of that stuff doesn't matter because this is a window now where the defense is good. You have offensive weapons in place. You built offensive line through the draft, which I'll touch on. But most importantly, you got your quarterback. You were aggressive, right? You weren't a coward like the Denver Broncos when QB2 was staring you right in the face. And you didn't screw it up. So they actually did something right on paper. We'll see how it plans out, you know, in Fields' career. But, man, they have a top five draft, man. Not only do you get Fields, right, who should be your starter. I know there's reports saying the Bears want to play, you know, Fields early. Poor Andy Dalton. Just pour one out for Andy Dalton, man. Like, you do a year in Dallas where you got lucky, and this sounds bad, but Dak has a gruesome injury, so you end up having to play. And the Bears saw some value in you, but it's just because their own quarterback room was so horrible. Trubisky, we know about Nick Foles. So then now you had to come to Chicago, which we all thought he was a starter because none of us assumed that they would be in a position to draft a quarterback. And I don't think we thought they'd be aggressive enough to go get a quarterback. It just didn't seem like something the Bears were going to do, but here we are. You traded for Tevin Jenkins, which should have been the pick at 17, but Alex Leatherwood is a thing, I guess. So there's that. But, like, so great value for a first-round prospect, dude. He's going to come in and be your starting left tackle right away. Dude, there's just so much that they did here that's amazing. Man, Larry Borum, Missouri, and then you go Khalil Herbert. This is the one pick that blows my mind. David Montgomery is a good football player, guys. And Tariq Cohen is also a good football player. And they do a good job of having their little speed and lightning and whatever duo you want to call these dudes. They do a really good job of getting them touches together. What are we doing with Khalil Herbert? I'm not understanding. And And my spill is really that because he's a sixth round pick, but like, oh man, I just don't understand running backs. I mean, he probably didn't make the roster, so I wouldn't even get too big on a sixth round pick at running back. But my second favorite pick on this draft is Daz Newsome. Like, sixth round, great value. This should have been a third round pick. How he falls to round six of Chicago, I don't know what happens, but like, maybe you're preparing for a
Anthony Miller.
Allen Robinson departure. I don't know what's going on, but like, I like Daz Newsome a lot. The Bears had a good draft, dude. Like, you can't tell me. And Thomas Graham, corner from Oregon, right? Again, sixth round pick, but like, the corner room sucks. So you signed, they started Artie Burns, Desmond Trufant, Fuller's gone. Jalen Johnson's the only starter on this roster at corner. Graham may come in and actually significantly be their starter week one. It would not surprise me, if we're being honest. Like, the room is that bad. Trufant's washed. Burns, huge Miami fan, whatever, but like, was not worthy of a first round pick. He had one good year, and that was that. So I.
Jeez, man, we all woke up and chose violence this morning.
We're just being honest, man. Seriously, look at the Bears
straight
roster.
Slandering people.
Dante's always saying that defenses get bad over time, like always, which is true. Always. There's a ton of evidence to do that. The Bears are trickling down that trend because is Khalil Mack the same player he used to be? No. Is he still good? Yes, but he's not the same Khalil Mack that you gave up a ton of draft capital for. The corner room sucks. We just said that. You let Fuller walk because you don't know how to manage cap situations. This is a stupid front office, if we're being honest. So what are we doing? You have to play Fields because if you don't, you're losing your job. So you have to deal with some rookie growing pains, but he should be the starter week one.
So, Saray, you know how you said like they touch up in the offensive line, but like they also released their starting left tackle.
Tevin Jenkins is going to play left tackle for them.
Yeah, and I don't know how I like that. I don't know how I feel about that.
Tackles are tackles, baby. I don't know. Tackles are tackles.
So, I mean, getting Tevin Jenkins, phenomenal value in the second round. But you released both Charles Leno and Bobby Massey. I mean, you think you got to keep one of them at least, right?
Yes, but Jermaine Ifedi is a swing guy. He's tackle.
Come on now.
Okay, he sucks. But he's experienced. He's experienced. Dude, we are just slandering people. This is not good. Man, listen, the Bears offensive line ain't great, right? Cody Wyatt Harrison, Jermaine Ifedi at right tackle, Tevin Jenkins at left tackle, but like
James Daniels is solid too.
What's their record? Is this a playoff team? The defense going to carry him again?
We have how many games does Justin Fields play? Because
He's not starting week one.
They're going to start Andy Dalton week one. Look, Fields might be in by halftime, but he's not going to start that first game. I think he plays in like 15 games.
Yeah, I agree. Dalton probably starts week one just because it's the Bears and they will find ways to screw stuff up. But yeah. Like, why? We didn't trade up all this capital.
I agree.
11, so
I agree.
I don't. QB1 Andy Dalton. Jesus Christ, man.
I think Dalton's the
stepchild.
I think Dalton's the QB until he proves he's not the QB, which could happen very
fast. He's proven that already in the 10 years he's been.
No,
in the
He's just
a pile of meh. That's all you're gonna get. It's nothing more and nothing less. He's just meh.
He wasn't even meh last year. He was terrible last year. But I think he's the quarterback for at least like 2 to 3 weeks. It's just depending on how long, you know, how bad he is in that span. If he's good, I mean, and they have no reason to take him. I wonder if it comes down to the Fitzpatrick Tua situation like last year. That'd be
I have an idea. It's something I have a lot of experience with. Stab him in the lung. I'm not promoting any violence here. I'm not promoting any death or anything like that.
Your team is known for doing stuff like
accidents
that.
Accidents happen. Accidents. If
no, they don't, though. That's how many other times have you heard of that happening?
They don't. The Chargers medical staff is just complete dog shit, and it was
my God.
But seriously, though, don't stab Andy Dalton. I'm not condoning any violence. But like on a serious note, just start Justin Fields. Like, just please. That's all I ask. Start Justin Fields.
How do I even transition to that? Okay. We're going to talk about the Detroit Lions. I saved the best for last, right? All right.
The best for last. Jared Goff?
Not the best team.
Yeah.
The best draft.
The best draft for the team that's going to finish last in the division. I agree.
We're off to the races.
It seems like Detroit wants for that to happen. I'm okay with that.
Oh, jeez.
Smart man.
Thibodeau. All right. Let's talk about this draft class. I thought this was a phenomenal draft class to start for Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell to start off their Detroit career. Obviously, we talked about the Cincinnati Bengals to start off the show, and you know, we thought they should have won Sewell. That was the logical pick, it seemed like, was going offensive line. I mean, we went all the way to the freaking Cincinnati Bengals uniform picture. We saw Joe Burrow stitches on his ACL right now, and it's like, if that wasn't a sign to take an offensive lineman in the first round, I don't know what was. They still didn't do it. So Penei Sewell falls to the Detroit Lions at pick number 7. You saw Brad Holmes' reaction, him jumping up in that war room. I mean, I was one of those people. I was crying. I was about to cry when Penei Sewell fell to pick 7. I was happy. Now you give me your weird looks. I was shedding a tear when he fell to pick 7. So I was very excited. Getting a day one starting right tackle for you has potential to be left tackle down the line if Taylor Decker, you know, once he starts to get a little bit older. He's only 20 years old. This is the best offensive lineman prospect I think we've all mentioned that we've ever seen in our lifetime. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to be a bias or homer right now. This is before, obviously, the Lions took him. But I think Penei Sewell is a very phenomenal prospect. And, like, getting him at pick 7 was just – I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe he fell that far in the draft. I mean, this was probably a guy, if there wasn't, you know, multiple quarterbacks in the top 5, this would be, like, the number 2 or number 3 pick in most drafts. I mean, just – it just depends on the quarterback market and quarterback needy. He was my second overall prospect in the whole entire draft. So getting him at pick 7 was phenomenal. Going on to the second round pick, getting Levi Onwuzurike from Washington. You know, Levi was an interesting prospect. He practiced one day at the Senior Bowl and had a very phenomenal day and then had that soft tissue injuries and ended up sitting out the Wednesday and Thursday portion of practice. And then obviously didn't participate in the game itself on Saturday. But he was one of those guys that he was, he was causing havoc with those one-on-one drills with offensive linemen. He was one of the better prospects down there for the interior. Obviously, a weak interior class. I think Daniel Jeremiah said this was the weakest interior defensive line class he's ever seen since like 2003 or 2002 or something like that. And that's fair enough. But, I mean, overall, I think he was the number 2 guy in this whole interior class after Christian Barmore. So getting him at 41 was good value. Obviously, Brad Holmes comes in. He wants to address the defense, address the trenches because – that was obviously one of the weakest part of the Detroit Lions team itself was, you know, not being able to stop the run, not being able to get into the quarterback. So with Levi Onwuzurike, you're getting a guy who's going to be able to stop the run. And he's obviously known for his three tech ability to get to the quarterback, which the Lions were really in desperate need of having. They go with their first third round pick, and they go with Aleem McNeil, who's another defensive tackle, but a completely different prospect from Levi Onwuzurike, and complements them really well. If you want to put both these guys on the field together, you could put Aleem McNeil at the nose tackle spot, have Levi at the three tech, and then, you know, Aleem's just going to be a disruptor, eat up all the run blocks, and he's going to open up holes for guys like Levi Onwuzurike, Romeo Okwara, Trey Flowers. It's going to be nice. So getting Aleem McNeil at 72 was great value as well. And then with their second, third round pick at pick 101, they go a 5'2 Melifonwu corner from Syracuse. Obviously, this was a little bit more of an interesting pick for the Lions. The prospect itself is a very good prospect, but you know, you look at the team needs and just the depth room at the cornerback spot. I mean, I think the Lions' cornerback depth room is pretty good right now. You know, obviously, you got Okuda, you drafted him at pick 3 last year. He's going to be starting this year for the Lions. You got Imani Awori. He was pretty good for this team last year and was really good his rookie year. So it's going to be interesting to see his year 3 jump in this new Aaron Glenn defensive scheme. Sign Quentin Dunbar in the offseason. And then obviously you get Melifonwu and you're just like a third round pick. So I don't know what his role is necessarily going to be for this team. Obviously, he's a bigger corner, 6'2. So, I mean, he's known for his press coverage. So I'm interested to see what his role is going to be to start off with the Lions. I heard some rumbling that he also could be potentially moved to safety just because the safety room for the Lions isn't necessarily sexy. You know, you got Tracy Walker, who they like, but then after that, it's just a bunch of question marks. Will Harris just hasn't been a very good football player for this team. CJ Moore's a special teams guy. They signed D. Marlowe, but overall, it's a very weak safety room for the Detroit Lions. So I'm interested to see what Melifonwu's role is going to be year one, and you know, maybe what the long term plans is. Are they maybe not as high on Imani Awori as, you know, the previous regime was? We'll see. So
I have a quick question for you, Tyler.
Yeah.
So you obviously are going to know more about the Lions than me, but yeah. Do you stop me when you hear a wide receiver one on your depth chart? Tyrell Williams, Rashad Perriman, Geronimo Allison, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who I love, which was a great pick. Sage Surratt, which if there was a team that he could have gone to where he's going to get playing time right away, he fell into the best situation possible. Like he's going to have a legit chance. So who the hell is Jared Goff throwing the football to, number one? Other than TJ Hawkinson.
Yeah, we
give you that. What do you do at receiver? Like, at what point do you have to start building your offense for whatever future quarterback you have coming in next season or whenever you guys draft quarterback?
So I got a question for both of you guys now. What do you guys think is the easiest position to figure out within the draft or via free agency? I think it's I think it's receiver and, like, safety are, like, the two easiest positions to figure out, right?
Yes.
I mean, I think Brad Holmes knows what's going to happen with Detroit. This is not, obviously, a 1 or 2 year fix. This is more of, let's just get good football players that are going to address the trenches right now. So he went out with his first three picks, gets an offensive lineman, and goes to two defensive linemen. You win in the trenches. I know it's a cliche, but you win in the trenches, right? So that's what Brad Holmes, you know, did in this draft. That's what he addressed with his first couple picks. I think, you know, worst case scenario, I mean, you could always pick up a free agency or you could always pick up a wide receiver in free agency. I'm not saying for this year because obviously everything's gone by now, but I'm saying the long term. I mean, our number one receivers, most of those guys were not even draft picks. Obviously, Kelvin Johnson was a draft pick. Kenny Galladay was a draft pick. But Marvin Jones was very productive for the Lions, was not a draft pick. Golden Tate was not a draft pick. He was a free agent signing. So I think it's a position that the Lions are just looking down the lines like, we'll figure this out. We're not expected to be good this year. And, you know, it's a position we'll figure out in free agency or we'll figure out in the draft next year. We have 11 picks next year. So
how many games do you guys win this season?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
I need a number. I need a number. Is this top five pick bad? Is it top 10 bad?
I think it's definitely top 10 bad. I think you'll be in the conversation for top five. And I think you even have potential to be top three. I mean, I think it's going to be that bad. I think it's a 4 to 5 win team ceiling wise. I mean, you play the AFC North and the NFC West, which arguably are the two toughest divisions in football.
Yes,
so,
I agree.
I mean, it's not a great situation for Jared Goff, obviously. I mean, he's obviously got a good offensive line, good running game, but I mean, we'll see what he could do. And he's going to have a lot to prove to, you know, to see if he's the franchise quarterback going forward for the Lions. But overall, I mean, I thought the Lions had a good draft. Am I homer for saying it's an A or A minus?
A little bit, but we'll let it go.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's a homer podcast. Do your thing.
Yeah. Right, fair enough. Yeah. We got to get out of here anyway. Right, so we can't. Yep.
So I hope you guys all enjoyed this episode. Again, if you guys could leave a 5-star review on whatever podcast network you're listening to, is always much appreciated. And again, we're out, guys. Peace.